Would one rather die of liver failure or live with HIV? This was the ethical dilemma faced by doctors at Fitzdonald Gordon Medical Center to save a child's life. In 2017, doctors from the transplant unit at the Fitzdonald Gordon Medical Center performed what is believed to be the world's first intentional liver transplant from a mother living with HIV to her critically ill HIV-negative child who had end-stage liver disease. Now, more than a year later, the mother and child have fully recovered. However, doctors are unsure the HIV status of the child. In South Africa, a country with the largest antiretroviral therapy, ART program in the world, people with HIV live long and healthy lives. In this case of transplanting a liver from an HIV-positive donor to a non-infectant recipient, the transplant team had to unpack the potential risks and benefits to both. The Human Research Ethics Committee in the medical field at Wits University approved the liver transplantation from the mother living with HIV to her HIV-negative child. Their personal details remain confidential. The child on the waiting list for a deceased donor for 180 days, the average being 45 days, was frequently admitted for life-threatening complications of end-stage liver disease. Without transplant, the child would certainly have died. However, saving the child's life needed to be balanced against harm to the donor and the risk of almost certainly transmitting HIV if the mother was the donor. Dr. Harriet Etheridge is a medical bioethicist who holds an honorary position in the Department of Internal Medicine, School of Clinical Medicine at Wits, and oversees ethics and regulatory issues at the Fitzdonald Gordon Medical Center, had the following to say.
In this particular transplant, it's important to remember that we were looking at life and death decisions, so the stakes were really high. The kind of things we were looking at was making sure that the mum's autonomy was protected, and we did that by enlisting the services of what we call an independent donor advocate, somebody who can look out and support a parent throughout this process. And we were also faced with things like the risk to this child and having a child who was too young to be able to tell us whether they were willing to assume that risk. Going forward, one of our main ethical dilemmas now is that we don't know the HIV status of our child. I guess in this case, the HIV is sort of like a bad ninja. It might be hiding somewhere in the child, but top experts can't necessarily find it. And we have to work out how we communicate that risk to parents going forward and make sure that they're aware of the uncertainties in this case.
In this transplantation case, the mother asked a number of times for the opportunity to save her child's life by donating a segment of her liver. For this mother, quantifying the risk was simpler for the transplant team. This made the risk of donation equivalent to that of an HIV-negative living donor. However, living liver donation is never a risk-free procedure, and the team took care to ensure that the mother understood the full ambit of the risk she was undertaking. The transplant team faced the dilemma of saving the child's life whilst at the same time knowing that the child might end up HIV positive because of this decision. However, because this intentional HIV positive living donor transplant is likely a world first, the actual chance of transmitting HIV was unknown. The team decided to work on the basis that the child would contract HIV and provide management accordingly, but in the time since the transplant, there have been some surprises when it comes to the child's HIV status. The transplant team then accessed specialized testing by HIV experts at the National Institute of Communicable Diseases, who subsequently could not find any active HIV infection in the bloodstream of the child, meaning there is a chance that the child is HIV negative. Caroline Timerson, a research professor in the School of Pathology at Wits and head of cell biology within the Center of HIV and STIs, had the following to say.
Before transplantation, drugs were given as pre-exposure prophylaxis the evening before transplantation, and then the child has remained on treatment subsequently and is to date. About 43 days after the transplantation, we saw a seroconversion event. What that means is that the child became HIV positive. But on monitoring the HIV antibodies subsequently, this has continually waned, basically to becoming almost negative. When we looked for actual evidence of virus, any measures of the virus load in the blood of the child has remained undetectable throughout and every time we've tested to date. Also, when we look at the cells of the child, and we've tried to do this with very sensitive methods, we cannot detect any virus or traces of virus within the cells of the child. And we will continue to monitor the child over time to ensure the status, but we need to have a lot more understanding of the interaction of the virus and the host in this particular context to get a better understanding of the actual risk for transmission itself.
Health Minister Dr. Arun Motsoaledi says South Africa should be proud of their achievements, even though we experience difficulties on a daily basis when it comes to our economic, social and political conditions.
We have already forgotten that the first heart transplant ever in the world happened in this country. So this is the first liver transplant of its own kind ever in the country. So we must sometimes, even through our difficulties, pat ourselves in the back. I am sure the explanations here by scientists are still very difficult for some of us to understand. The viral load suppression, the antibodies not being from the baby, from the mother, and all that. It's a very difficult, complex thing to understand. But let's try to simplify it. To me, what has happened here is coming together of maturing systems which people might have thought are not related. Firstly, only a decade ago, HIV positive people, at least most of them, were a death sentence already. And you remember we launched what is now the world's biggest HIV antiretroviral program, I mean to say, the biggest in the whole world. We might be undermining it. It is now maturing to an extent where it produces virally suppressed individuals. People who will remain HIV positive but are virally suppressed. And this mother was one of those. She was virally suppressed. And you might understand that in 2014, the International AIDS Society conference held in Melbourne in Australia agreed on the concept of 1999 to bring an end to HIV/AIDS. And we have got a dream that will achieve that 1990 by 2030. You remember the two 90s about finding people who are HIV positive and putting 90% of them on treatment. But the last 90 is what interests us, virally suppressed. This mother is one of those. Can we imagine if 90% of the HIV positive population are now virally suppressed? That is the first system. The second system that has come to maturity is the success of our PMTCT program, prevention of mother-to-child transmission. We might also forget where we started from. Only a decade and a half ago, by 2004, 70,000 babies were born HIV positive every year in South Africa at that time. But through our concerted PMTCT program, that figure has dropped to less than 4,000. We now can dream that in a few years' time, we might actually follow countries like Cuba to become a country where no more children are born HIV positive. So that success of the PMTCT program has produced this baby. The baby was born HIV negative because of the PMCT program. Now the second question was, can this baby be saved by the liver from the mother?
More than a year since the intentional liver transplantation from a mother living with HIV to her HIV-negative child, both donor and recipient have recovered and are well. Noman Panchbaya for Radio Islam News.